And welcome to the program, and we are so honored to have with us today Lieutenant Colonel Chandler Seagraves. He is an EA-6B Prowler pilot and the commanding officer for Marine Tactical Electronic Squadron 1 out of Cherry Point, the Banshees. And he is deployed out of Cherry Point and joining us today live from Afghanistan. Lieutenant Colonel, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ben. It's great to be talking to you and everybody back in Eastern North Carolina.
First of all, how long have you been deployed to Afghanistan this time?
Well, we just got here on the 8th, so 10 days now.
Right. Yes, VMAQ-4 just arrived back in Cherry Point, and so we welcome them back home. But so you're fresh there now. Is this a first or second deployment to Afghanistan for you? Or
personally, this is my first to Afghanistan, but the squadron itself has been here twice. Most of us are now making that jump over from Iraq. I did two deployments there and now starting to pick up the mission here in Afghanistan.
Well, let me just take a moment to say congratulations. I understand that your unit, VMAQ-1, received Secretary of Defense a level award for aircraft maintenance. That's a big honor.
We did, and we just got the word tonight. I haven't fully verified this, but I think we got it on pretty good source that we actually won the maintenance award for the entire DOD.
Oh, excellent. Hey, that's even better. That's great news to hear.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about what that means.
The name of it is the Phoenix Award that the Secretary of Defense puts out, and they, you know, it's obviously across all branches of the military, so pretty prestigious award. Our Marines and sailors do some pretty amazing work, and we're recognized for it.
Sir, that is pretty amazing work. Tell us a little bit about your unit and what something like that would mean to them.
Well, it's, you know, that specific award, you know, having that level of attention for, you know, the work we've had to do. We got basically brand new weapon systems in the aircraft, and so all of these Marines and sailors have had to relearn everything that they've known since basically the 60s on this aircraft. So hours and hours, actually over 100 hours each, you know, through classroom instruction, and then almost having to learn to fix things all over again. You know, the old methods didn't necessarily work to keep this airplane in the sky and supporting our troops over here. So pretty prestigious award. They only chose 5 units out of the entire DOD, and then the 16th, the evening of the 16th, out of those 5 units, they picked what they call the Phoenix Award winner. And again, I don't want to say it 100%, but I got it on good terms that we won it as the overall. So again, very, very excited and proud of these Marines.
Well, and as well you should be. I understand, actually, VMAQ-1 has received a number of awards over its history, and it's just, again, another great addition to that, to those rankings. Now, tell me a little bit about your crew members. You said flying the EA-6B Prowler there with all the new gear. They've had to do a lot of relearning. That's a pretty extensive training and has to be precise.
It is, and I tell you, it's old guys like me probably don't pick it up as quick as these young kids do nowadays, but the technology leaps that we've now gone to with this new weapon system, you know, these young aviators eat it up and are continually figuring out new ways, you know, through their own ingenuity of employing the weapon system and being able to communicate with the forces on the ground and provide better support than we ever have been able to in the past. So it's pretty amazing to watch, you know, some of the brightest minds here, you know, again, with these young, sharp aviators who are really digging into the books and then, you know, being creative with, hey, you know, we can do this with the weapon system now. So pretty proud of them as well. And flying some pretty long sorties and doing good things, making sure a lot of these young soldiers and all of our coalition partners, Marines, make it home safe and in one piece.
Now, I don't want you to say things that you can't say, so let me ask you. I understand that much of Second Mall Forward is at Camp Leatherneck, but you're in a different spot. Is that right?
We are. We are currently located in Bagram, which is up in the northeastern portion of Afghanistan, and it's unique in its own way too. You know, being Marines, but yet we're here on an Air Force controlled airfield, and the Army runs all the facilities. So, you know, using a lot of joint skills to embed ourselves in with these units and get the support that we need, you know, to be able to continue to carry on the mission. So unique in that effect as well. We still keep in contact with all of our Marine counterparts down in the South, and obviously get down there to support them as much as we possibly can.
Well, it's like Joint Strike Fighters without the F-35, as you're all working together.
That's it. And, you know, one big team, one fight here. And as we continue to move on, you know, it seems to be more and more regular that we end up working, you know, with all of our other branches of service, much like, you know, the squadron actually just came out of Aviano, Italy, and was supporting the Operation Unified Protector in Libya for the past 2 months.
Right.
So, again, there we were part of a NATO force. So you're working with all, you know, multiple nations in, you know, being able to take the fight to the enemy, and then eventually lead to the fall of the Gaddafi regime.
We are speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Chandler Seagraves, who is the commanding officer for VMAQ-1, Marine Tactical Electronic Warfare Squadron 1. And how would you describe your mission as VMAQ-1 as opposed to, say, other units?
Well, ours is the technology that we use to be able to deny the enemy use of the electronic spectrum, for lack of better words, almost, you know, futuristic, being able to keep them from, you know, utilizing the spectrum itself,
right. Exactly.
to be able to bring harm to our coalition forces.
Again, and this is part of the great advancements that have happened with EA-6B Prowler too over the years. It's been quite a vehicle for the Marine Corps and for many other units as well. But let's. I wanted to ask you, since you are in Bagram, in a different place, and we've asked everybody, I think, at Camp Leatherneck about this. And I know it seems like a silly question, but people back here kind of want to know these things. House of food.
I tell you, Ben, the food is outstanding. I don't think I have had a day or a meal yet that I haven't been impressed. It is amazing what they do with food over here.
Well, we always ask that question.
Tell you, one of the unique things, I didn't mean to cut you off, Ben, we actually eating dinner tonight. One of the individuals that runs one of the chow halls actually brought some bread out that was actually made by a Afghani local woman that has been hired to work on base in the chow hall. So, you know, you get some of that interaction as well. And I got to say, Hope my wife doesn't hear this, but that was probably the best piece of bread I've had quite some time.
Again, we are speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Chandler Seagraves from VMAQ1. And, Colonel, again, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from originally? How long have you been in the Marine Corps?
Well, funny you ask that. I am a New Bern boy, graduated from New Bern High School. And my father was a career Marine, so I moved around pretty much all my life. But New Bern's home, and having graduated right there. So makes life easy. I've been in the Marine Corps for almost 19 years now, and seems like it was yesterday that I joined. So a lot of opportunity and you know, good memories.
What would you tell New Bern High School graduates now about the Marine Corps and about maybe choosing a military service career?
Yeah, well, the opportunities are phenomenal. I mean, who would think that, you know, some young kid that, you know, probably wasn't, as most of my teachers might attest to, not the smartest one in the class, but who would have thought that you'd get the opportunity to go, you know, fly jet aircraft and you know, be in the missions that we're getting to do and fight the war over here for our country. So probably the biggest thing I would tell them is, you know, if they're interested in it, they can do it if they set their sights on it and, you know, push. Work very, very hard, and before they know it, they'll be flying some of this technology and doing what we're doing.
Lieutenant Colonel Seagraves joining us from Afghanistan, and you know, we have actually in this area, we have a Seagraves Aviation. Is that any relation?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that, but I'll have to check.
Yeah,
maybe they need a Seagraves over there working for them.
Do you? When did you first fly? When was your first time you got behind the stick?
First time I ever flew was when I joined the Marine Corps, other than obviously commercial aircraft. So, you know, didn't have any flight experience whatsoever prior to joining.
What was that like, the first time you taking your very first lesson as a young Marine and getting into a trainer and taking off?
Pretty awesome. You know, some stress and nerves there, but you know, once you get over that aspect of it, how amazing you know, it is that they're actually giving you a set of keys to one of these things and letting you take it out. So a lot of hard work and effort, and then you know, culminating when you finally make it through all that training and you actually get to, you know, instead of practice, you get to go play, and that's what it's about, what we're doing right now.
EA-6B Prowler, pretty amazing aircraft. When did you first start flying that?
Let's see, Ben, you're taking me back. I want to say 1995 was the first time. And, of course, all Marine Prowler EA-6B guys go through Whidbey Island, Washington for our training and then transfer, you know, all the way across back to Cherry Point.
And yes, all the Marine EA-6B Prowlers are Cherry Point, I understand. So was that a choice to go that so you could be near home?
No, not really. Just kind of happened to play out that way.
Yeah. Do you have family back here?
I don't. My family now lives in southern Alabama, but obviously very familiar with the area, and they get up there as much as possible to visit with the family.
Well, again, it's an honor to speak with you today, as we have been talking to Marines and Sailors for some time now with 2nd Marine Air Wing Forward in Afghanistan and in other places, too. Is the flight parameters, are the territory, your horizons, are they different in Bagram? I don't know them much about the geography than they would be at Camp Leatherneck.
Yeah, it's considerably different in Bagram. We're up in the northern portion where the, you know, mountains are 12 to 15,000 feet. We sit at almost a mile above sea level, so very similar to a, you know, Denver
environment there.
You know, feels a lot like you're in Denver. It's getting pretty cool here in the evenings. The days right now have been pretty nice, but, you know, as soon as that sun starts to drop behind a mountain, it gets pretty cool rapidly. A lot of snow on the mountains, and we haven't had any down here yet, but I've been told it's coming.
Yes, yeah, indeed. So you have just been there for 10 days or so. Then you were you here for the Marine Corps birthday?
We were not. We were we were here in Bagram, and
okay.
We did our Marine Corps birthday celebration here. The as you mentioned before, the food is awesome, and the support we get out of the they call them DFACs, essentially a chow hall. They provided us a big Marine Corps birthday cake. We had a ceremony right here on the flight line, cut cake and ate it. And then shared the rest of it with our Air Force and Army brethren.
Good. And with a smaller group of Marines there, then it'll probably be a little bit easier to pick out the youngest and the oldest Marine.
It was very easy. matter of fact, and I'll tell him right now, our Sergeant Major was the oldest, so I didn't end up getting that one. And then we had a young PFC Henry was our youngest Marine.
Again, it's quite an honor to celebrate that wherever you are. How did your brethren react to that? I guess they liked the cake.
You know, they actually very well. They were very quick to wish us a happy birthday. I went to a couple meetings with the Air Force Wing here, the 455th Air Expeditionary Wing, and they were very quick in the meetings to wish us a happy birthday. And I was actually amazed at how many former Marines were now Air Force officers and even some Army officers. So that was fun, too, because they would, you know, walk up and wish a happy birthday and give you the Semper Fi. And then, of course, you'd always ask, wait a minute, come here.
Yeah. So, Well, then you can tell them, I guess, that their best training for being in the Army or the Air Force had to come from being in the Marines first.
That's we never miss a chance to make sure they remember that, Ben.
Absolutely. And again, when are you working with other coalition partners, too? I don't know if the British are in that area of operation or some of the other coalition partners.
We are. We've flown numerous missions in support of the Italians, French, some British forces as well. So absolutely, coalition forces. We've even received fuel airborne from many of our coalition forces. So it's an all-hands effort over here, that's for sure.
You mentioned about having the Afghan woman baking in the mess. Is there a opportunity for other interaction at all with other Afghans or other natives?
Well, there are obviously, you know, in the situation we're in right now, we don't necessarily want to befriend anybody,
right.
And worry about operational security, but. There are quite a few local nationals, Afghani people who are actually employed here on the base.
Mm-hmm.
So they work in the chow halls. They do, you know, numerous things. And like always, you know, it's good for them to, you know, have the interaction with us, you know, regardless of how they were raised, whether they, you know, think we're not here to help them or we are here to help, so they get to, you know, actually see what we're doing in here, and I think that helps build some of those bridges that we'll need in the future.
It certainly, in our conversations with many who were deployed in Iraq, that certainly seemed to be the case there. You served a couple of times there, too.
Right.
Yeah. As we wrap it up here, we'll talk a little bit about, again, one of the things that always impresses us, and again, Lieutenant Colonel Seagraves, as you have a number of young guys that you're working with as well, is that the focus that they have on the mission. We just are so impressed and just floored, really, by how well they understand what they're doing, the job that they have before them, and how focused they are on their mission.
Yeah, they're, you know, it's you've probably heard numerous different times, you know, the greatest generation, and it's amazing. These young people of today, everywhere from, you know, 18 years old, you know, all the way up to me, that have dedicated their life, you know, go into harm's way on a daily basis to support their brothers and sisters out there in the field, and you know, no matter what mission we give them, no matter how hard the challenge seems to be, they always rise to the occasion. So it's pretty amazing. You know, you don't get to necessarily always hear the good side of it. And when you get to see these young Americans over here working the way they do and proud to do it in all kinds of, you know, cold and rainy, you know, to baking sun, it motivates you, you know, myself, just to watch that happen. Very, very impressive. You know, no doubt in my mind will ever have to worry about anything in the United States, because these kids are going to make sure that our future is safe forever.
One of the things that has struck us, and it doesn't matter if it comes from a newly minted Marine or someone who's been in as a career for some time, or if they got into it for because they were just kind of not in a good direction in their life, or if they always wanted to be a Marine, is that it changes their lives, and even in a forward deployed area like this, They find new ways to love what they're doing and to love being in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, they really do, and you hit it on the head, like we were talking about earlier with, you know, the other branches of service that have former Marines in it. You know, you get to see how that's forged in their life, because they're so quick when they see you as a Marine to run up and say, hey, I was, you know, I was a Marine, I was a grunt back in, you know, whatever years, and you can really see that it's stuck with them throughout their life.
Well, again, sir, we want to honor you for your service, Lieutenant Colonel Seagraves, who's the commanding officer for Marine Tactical Electronic Warfare Squadron 1, the VMAQ-1, the Banshees out of Cherry Point with 2nd Marine Air Wing Forward, and in Bagram, and thank you for your service, and thank you for speaking with us today as we talked live from Afghanistan.
Well, we appreciate it, Ben. Thanks, and we look forward to getting back there to Eastern North Carolina, and it's definitely our privilege to be over here serving our great country. Thanks for your time.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. That's it. We appreciate it.
All right, Ben. You bet.
Okay.
Take care.
Have a great day. Bye now.